hear the sayings of Jesus Christ. Isn't it? I mean, we preach it all the time. We believe it. That's why we're here, right? Because we know it's important to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That's why we get up and we come to Sunday school. We bring our children to Sunday school because we know it's important for them to hear the Word of God. That's why we come on Wednesday night. It's you know, the food's good. We appreciate it. But we're here and we bring our kids here and we run the buses to bring other people's kids here because we want them to hear the Word of God. It's important. It's a good thing to hear the sayings of Jesus Christ, to hear the incredible sermon that Jesus has been preaching. All of the truths that he's taught. Listen, I don't know, most of you have grown up hearing these things your whole life, the Beatitudes and all the different teachings, but you got to understand that what Jesus was preaching and teaching to his church was revolutionary. That Jesus was changing the world by his preaching. He was changing everything. He was trying to help them understand what all of the Old Testament was really all about. He was trying to overcome what the worship of God in Judaism had decayed to. He was trying to help them understand what it was really supposed to be. And that he was the fulfillment of all things. What Jesus was preaching was huge. Amen. It was big. And it still is. Amen. And sometimes I don't think we realize how big it is, how important it is, because we've heard it so much we think it's not as important. Friends, this is huge. This is awesome. Amen. And he's saying, listen, you've heard me, and that's great. It is good to hear the truth. But he warns that the choice that you make in doing those sayings or not will have great or terrible consequences. The wise man, he says, let me tell you what he's like. He's like a wise man that built his house upon a rock. We need to build our lives with obedience to the word of God. Now, I want you to get this. What the Lord is teaching here is that this obedience to the Word of God is directly relational to the foundation of our that we build our lives on. What you do with God's Word determines the foundation of your life. Amen. The foundation is the most important part of a house. The foundation is the most important part of your life. You say, well, I've been in church my whole life. And what the Lord's saying, that's good, but whether you're obeying or not is the real question. That's why when the Lord gave the Great Commission, he didn't say to teach those. He said, go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Is that what he said? No, he said teaching them to observe or to do all things that I have commanded you. You see, it's not just enough that we teach people what Jesus said. There are a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible that don't apply any of it. And you know what they are? They're fools. Isn't that what the Lord just said? It's a foolish thing to hear him and not obey him. He says it like this in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You've heard that verse. You know that verse, right? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know what? That's what comes right after that, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently on the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. He says, listen, if you call me Lord, but you don't obey me, that's a foolish thing to do. But if you call me Lord and you do what I say, then you're a wise builder. Build like a wise man. Now can we be real? We've been talking about having revival, haven't we? Yeah, we've been talking about it. We've been praying for revival, have we not? Let me put you on the spot real quick. If you've really been praying for revival, would you say amen right now? Now, we can talk about it, we can pray for it, but you know where it comes from? It comes from being obedient to the Word of God. Now, can we get real for a second? Can you look into your heart and say, you know, every time I come to church, God teaches me something, God shows me something that needs to change in my life, and when he shows me, I do it. Can anybody in here say that with an honest heart? Every time God shows me something needs to change in my life, I do it without fail. Now, I can't imagine there's a soul in here that can say that. And so what I'm trying to say tonight is every one of us, myself at the top of the list, when we hear God's word, we need to make a commitment of our heart by his grace. I'm going to do what you show me, Lord. He shows us things we need to get out of our life. He shows us things we need to do with our lives. And if we're disobedient, we're being foolish. Build like a wise man. Build on obedience to his word. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear preaching. A lot of people don't like to study the Bible. A lot of people don't like to read it on their own. And the reason is because when they hear it, when they study it, when they read it, it convicts them because they see they need to change and they don't want to change. I know. I'm preaching to a bunch of hard-nosed missionary Baptists. You people love change. Right? Now listen, don't misunderstand me. There's some things we don't need to change about. Amen? We don't need to change when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. What we need to change is our obedience and our level of obedience to the Word of God. Amen. There's things that need to change in our lives. Listen, I don't care how good you are. You're not like Jesus yet. Amen. We need to change. And we do that by building on obedience. When he shows us something, we need to change. And when you build on obedience to his Word, then you can weather the storm. Listen, he says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Listen, things come down on you. Things come up upon you. Things come in at you. I mean, there's stuff coming at you all the time, and it beats on your life. Amen. Does anybody else ever feel like that some days? You come to the end of the day, and you're just like, I feel beat up. I mean, I feel like things are coming down on me. I feel like the flood, I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I just can't catch a breath. It's just something after another. Does anybody else ever feel like that? Amen. Now, I'm pretty much a wimp. I thought I heard an amen. Okay, just checking. Brother Randy likes to tell me I'm pretty delicate. I'm not sure how to take that. I am. I'm a wimp. I don't like adversity. I like to be comfortable. Amen. Yep. I don't like being too hot. I don't like being too cold. Amen. I don't like being too tired. I don't like working too hard. Amen. I don't like laying around too much. I mean, I think I want things to be just right. And when they're not just right, it bothers me. I'm the biggest wimp in the world when it comes to being sick. And all those accusations that you women make about guys being big babies about being sick, it's absolutely true. Amen. I'll admit it. When I'm sick, I just want to die. But see, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I think I'm being very biblical. Amen. We don't like adversity. And sometimes, I'm going to say this. I don't want to take away from whatever suffering you might be going through, but I think a lot of times it's far worse in our mind than it is in reality. But whatever it is, it's coming at you. And the more you try to live for God, the worse the storm's going to get. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're not living in obedience to the Word of God, you are in a dangerous place when the storms come. Some of you are here tonight because you have weathered many storms because you have strived to be obedient to the Word of God. And no doubt you have failed, no doubt you have made mistakes, no doubt you've just outright sinned against the Lord, but overall in your life you've tried to do what God wanted you to do, tried to do what you thought God wanted you to do, and you've been allowed to weather some storms, and it's simply because you tried to obey the Word of God. Listen, some of you wouldn't be here tonight if you hadn't been trying to be obedient to the Word of God. Build like a wise man. And if you build with obedience to the Word of God, you can weather the storm and you can withstand the storm, and it fell not. Basically, what the Lord's saying is the storms that hit this house were so strong that were it not for the rock that it was built on, the house would have surely fallen. It really wasn't about the house itself. It was about the rock that it was founded on. You get that? It's not really about your life. It's really about what you're building your life on. It's not really about you. It's about the fact that you're trying to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's the key. That's the secret, if you will, for us to build lives that are honorable to God and lives that will not fall. I want to build a house that will stand. Listen, what kind of idiot goes out and says, I'm going to build this house. I know the first storm that comes, it's not going to still be here, but I'm going to build it anyway. I mean, that's idiotic. Houses are expensive. Houses take a lot of time and money and investment. And what kind of moron says, you know, I know that this thing's not going to last. The first wind that comes through here, it's all just going to, the foundations are going to wash out and it won't be here anymore, but I'm going to build it anyway. No, that would be ridiculous. But that's what we do with our lives when we're disobedient to the Word of God. Build like a wise man. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So let's talk about the foolish man for a moment. We see the wise man. He hears the sayings of mine and doeth them. And then he says, everyone, verse 26, that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 49, Jesus said, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Building on disobedience to the Word of God. The one that hears what Jesus says and doesn't do them built his house upon the sand. He built his house without a foundation. This is what James taught in James 1:22, isn't it? Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. What's he say? Deceiving your own selves. I wish I could make this so plain that everybody would get it. I'm amazed sometimes at how we can sit right there in the pew. We can have our Bible on our lap. We can hear the words that are said. Maybe even we have some mental confirmation and understanding of what's being said, but we don't really get it. What he's saying is you've heard it. You've read it. You heard it preached. And you didn't get it. And because you didn't get it, you didn't do it. And because you heard it, you're deceiving yourself into thinking you're fine. You heard it and you deceive yourself into thinking you're fine because you were there. I was sitting in the pew. I heard the preacher. I even amened what he said. I nodded my head up and down like I was in agreement. But then I went and I didn't do it. And you still think you're okay. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. You can hear from now until eternity. But if you don't do, then you've missed the whole point. We've got to make a commitment to obey. Now, there's a problem, friends, because you and I, we can't in our own strength obey Jesus. You go ahead and try it. There's enough of you here old enough, been trying this long enough to figure it out already. You cannot obey Him on your own. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to rely on Him to do everything. You know those basic Sunday school answers for just about everything in church? What's the answer for just almost everything? Well, pray, study your Bible, go to church, be a witness. Is that not it? I mean, just about everything we come up against, we say, you know what we need to do? What we really need to do is we need to pray, we need to study our Bible, we need to go to church, and we need to be a witness. I mean, really, those are the things that we have to do. And those got to get to be trite little Sunday school answers, but that's really it. We really do need to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. And we really need to do study His Word and love His Word and devour His Word and let His Word change us. And we really do need to come to church. I know, I'm Sunday night, and I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. You know how vital it is to be at church every time the doors are open? One preacher said, three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can get by, you can't get, you, if you just want to get by, if you just want to play at church, that's fine. But if you want to thrive, if you want to bear fruit, if you want to really live for Jesus, you better be here every time the doors are open. Amen. I think that's true. Hebrews 10:25 still says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Being in God's house and having yourself and your family under the preaching of the Word of God is the most important thing you can do for your family. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. That's something I desperately want my children to learn. Amen. That's why, by the grace of God, when it's time to be in God's house, that's where we're going to be. You say, well, you're the pastor. It's your job. You have to be here. Listen, I want to tell you something. I'm not here because it's my job. Amen. I'm here because I made a decision a long time ago that I wanted to be where God wants me to be. Amen. It hasn't always been my job. But for the past 20 years, I've been in God's house unless I absolutely couldn't be. It just was automatic for me. That's what you do. When it's time to go to Sunday school, you go to Sunday school. When it's time to go to preach, you go to preaching. When it's Sunday night church, I come from a church that had BTC, still has BTC to this day. Some of you don't even know what that is. But we didn't just do 1 hour on Sunday night, we did 2 hours. And we were there. And I was there. And when it was just me, I was there. Why? Am you trying to boast of yourself? No, I'm just telling you, it just only makes sense to me that you go to church when it's time to be in church. Wednesday night. Every time the church has agreed to assemble together, we ought to be here. Amen. And let me preach for just a second. When you put anything else above church, you can say to your kids all you want to that church is more important. But when you put something else ahead of church, you know what you're doing? You're undermining everything you've said. Because now all of a sudden, ball practice is more important than church. Now all of a sudden, this ball game is more important than church. Now all of a sudden, our hobbies are more important than church. Listen, you're going to teach your kids far more by what you do than you ever do by what you say.
Amen.
Next week's time to pray for revival. The week after that, starting the 17th, is Revival Week. And I already know, some of you have already made up your mind what nights you're going to be here and what nights you're not. You've already decided. It's already been determined what you're going to teach your family is most important in your family's life. I'm here to tell you that it's far more important to be in God's house, having your family under the preaching of the Word of God, than it is doing anything else. Now listen, if you're sick, stay home, by all means, my goodness. And there are things that cannot be avoided. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about choices that you make. I'm not trying to be ridiculous. Listen, if you got the stomach flu, please don't come. If you've got a job that requires you and you absolutely can't miss work, that's a responsibility you have and you ought to do that. But that's different than the boss gave me an opportunity to get a little overtime, so I'm going to stay. I don't have to, but I'm going to anyway because I'd rather have a little more money. You guys get what I'm saying? Say, so we can't miss practice or my boy won't get to play or my daughter won't get to play. Big deal. We're talking about building foundations for their lives. Forsake not the assembly. Pray. Study your Bible. Go to church. Be a witness. All of those things, they come from being obedient to the Word of God. And let me tell you about this foolish man. He built his house on the sand. Because he was disobedient to the Word of God, he has no foundation for his life. Now, I want you to notice this. By the way, some people have a hard time. The more I try to live for God, the worse things get. Right? Well, the Lord said he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The same sun comes and shines on the fields of the righteous man and the wicked man. Amen. The same storm that beat on the wise man's house beat on the foolish man's house. Amen. Did you see his description? Is there any difference? No, he says the rains descended and the floods came and the wind beat upon the house. He's going through the same life, the same troubles, the same things. We all live in a sin-cursed world. And storms and trials are going to come to you just like they do to somebody out there. And storms and trials that you see and storms and trials you don't see. The point is, what is your house, what is your life founded on? The foolish man has no foundation. He built his house, he's got no foundation. And so when the rains come, and the rains descend, and the floods come, and the winds blow, and beat upon the house, it will not stand. Listen, I don't even think to stand in judgment of the foolish man tonight. I pity him. Do you see what Jesus said? He said his house fail. We're not talking about brick and sticks. We're talking about a man's life. We're talking about a human being, a soul, who has built his life without Jesus Christ. And when the floods come, his house will fall. And the Lord says, great is the fall of it. It is a tragedy for someone to lose their life with no foundation. What are you building your life on? Say, preacher, why are you preaching like this for? It's Sunday night. I mean, we're here on a Sunday night. Because you could sit in the pew on a Sunday night and still go away and be disobedient. Amen. We've got to make up our minds. And as we try to prepare for revival, as we try to seek God's face for revival, you've been praying for revival. Revival's not going to come if we're disobedient. You guys remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, don't you? The Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And the Lord made a promise to Solomon. He said, listen, when you get away and you don't obey, he said, if you'll turn back to me, I'll forgive you, I'll help you. And I believe that there's a formula there for us today. But it starts with humbling yourself. You know, be able to sit there all haughty in your pew and say, I go to church on Sunday night. I'm better than half the people I know. No. You got to look at the other things in your life where you're not obeying. And you got to be humble enough to admit it to God. Humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked way. Friends, we've got to make up our minds. We want to do what God wants us to do. Now, what a blessing that God will allow us to build our lives on his word. Can you just stop for a second? It's not about our house. It's about the foundation. It's about the rock. And who is that blessed rock? It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. But it's not just knowing about his word. It's about obeying his word. It's not just about knowing about him. It's about knowing him. Friend, tonight, I don't know what's going on in your heart and life. I don't know what's going on where God's convicted your heart and you've either obeyed or disobeyed. There's no way I could even guess. Well, I could probably guess. But I won't. Calling your pastor delicate, that may be one thing. But I know this. If we really want revival to come, it's going to come from doing, not just hearing. Doing, humbling ourselves. Doing, real prayer. Doing, seeking God's face through studying his word. Doing, by turning from our wicked ways. And by the way, repentance, it's a two-sided thing, friends. We turn from something, we turn to something. We turn from our sin, we turn to God. It's about doing. Now listen, we're getting ready to have a verse of invitation. The musicians will come, we'll get ready for it. I hope you understand that I am not interested in emotional responses. I'm not interested in just some show. It's a waste of time and it's a disgrace to God. But I am interested in this. I'm interested in men and women who have been touched by the Holy Spirit of God, who want to see revival in their lives and in this church. I'm interested in seeing people who are convicted that they need to get some things right, that they need to start doing some things that God's convicted them about. And I believe one of the greatest ways to get real about that is right here in the prayer altar. And so I don't have to come down there to get right with God. That's true, you don't. I hope you get right where you're standing. But I'm going to tell you about me personally. The times in my life when I was serious about something, I was on my knees right down front. So everybody could see. No, I couldn't care less what everybody else saw. But I knew I needed to get serious about seeking God's face. If that's you tonight, if you really want to see revival in your heart and life and your family, I want to invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.